We have another picture of King David. And he's coming again as he did last night in the Bible reading in 1 Samuel 17. He's coming here in 1 Chronicles 12 as a type or picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who of course is David's greater son. David was God's appointed and anointed king. Samuel had already performed the honors, but while he was God's anointed and appointed king, there was only a few in the land of Israel and Judah that accepted David as the rightful or eventual king. The majority were on the side of King Saul. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the rightful king. God has set him aside, appointed him, anointed him, and given him, Paul writes in Philippians 2 and verse 9, given him a name that is above every name. But while he is the rightful king, only a few in the world today accept him in the way in which God has set him forth. The majority reject him. Our Lord is now rejected by the world, disowned by the many, still neglected, but only by the few, enthroned. During this time of rejection and being hunted across the country and creeping from den to den and one hole or cave in the midst of the rocks to another, David needed men. He not only believed that he was God's appointed and anointed king, he was the rightful heir to the throne, who didn't just believe in this at their own fireside and accepted that fact secretly, but he needed men who would come out boldly and become his followers, kneel their colours to his mast. And this is exactly what our King, the Lord Jesus, needs today. In verse 18. We have the quotation that comes from the mouth of some of those that aligned themselves to David. Thine are we, David, and on thy side. And our Lord Jesus is looking for the same kind of sterling, no holds barred commitment coming from us. Thine are we, and on thy side. That's why we sang the hymn that we did tonight. Who is on the Lord's side? Who will fight and serve for this king? Later in the hymn, the lines, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are thine. And while our hymn book doesn't give the reference to 1 Chronicles 12, 18, but rather cites it's from Exodus 32 and verse 26, it ties in very well with our text tonight, which is verse 18 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. What kind of men did David have, and what kind of men, by extension, does our Lord need? What are the characteristics of those who will come and swear allegiance to the king? Well, first of all, he needs a variety of men who will come to him out of every tribe and nation, from all arts and parts, we would say. And if you scan over verse 24 down to the verse 37 of 1 Chronicles chapter 12, you'll see the description of the men who came and joined themselves to David. You'll note there they were from a variety of tribes. Beginning in verse 24, the children of Judah. Verse 25, of the children of Simeon. Verse 26, of the children of Levi. And so on, down to the verse 37. They're coming from all parts of the country, rallying to the right of David. Today, while our king is rejected by the world, the Holy Spirit is going round active among men and women, calling out a people unto Christ who in a special sense belong to him and are on his side. This is the plan that God is prosecuting in this present age, sending his Spirit here and there and into another place and calling out men and women by that Spirit into salvation and into service. Back in the days of the apostle, when he was going out on his missionary journeys, he was reminded, you have a gospel for Jews and for Gentiles. Acts 15, the verses 14 to 17, God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And then he says, after this will I return and will build again the tabernacle of David, work among the Jews, which is fallen down. Calling a people to himself. Just as King David's loyal subjects came in, we're told in the Bible passage tonight, day by day, so the Holy Spirit is combing this world, calling out men and women day by day to be the loyal subjects of our Savior King. We read back in the book of Acts again, the chapter 2, and the Lord added to the church daily, day by day, such as should be saved. He's still doing it. We don't really see the evidence much of it in our country or indeed in the Western world. I was listening to another brother preach last night, and he was preaching in America. He's originally a Scotsman, and he was saying it's lamentable. So little is happening in this Western world, and yet we know that over in the East, the power of God is being unveiled, and day by day by day, people are being called into the mercy of God's salvation. But it's an awesome privilege to belong to this company of the called out ones from every tribe, nation, country under heaven who have been born again by the Holy Spirit, who have been redeemed by the precious blood of Christ, who recognize together the Lord Jesus as our Savior and our King, who can stand shoulder to shoulder in the ranks of his army and say, thine are we, and on thy side, every kindred, tribe and nation singing, worthy the Lamb, join to sing this great salvation, worthy the Lamb. But then secondly, who else and what kind of people should rally to the standard of the Lord Jesus? Those that did to the standard of David back here. Well, he needed men who were separated unto him. No other attachment. One focus. David enjoyed that privilege, and you'll see it in 1 Chronicles 12 and the verse 8. And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness. Separated men. Our weakness so often comes in right here, in the fact that we are so mixed up with the world. Our affairs are enmeshed with what the world is doing. 2 Timothy 2 and 4 tells us, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. He is a separated man. He's willing to go outside the camp. Hebrews 13 and 13 for the Lord Jesus. He's able to make a dividing line between him and the world. It makes for very sad viewing. Whenever you're standing in the ranks of the army and you look out maybe to one side or to the other side, and there's people who name the name of Jesus Christ, who were meant to be on his side, but they're standing with those and laughing with those and being intermingled with those who in their hearts reject our King. In this chapter we see that David needed men of quality. Selected men, separated men, and our Lord Jesus needs the same. Where do we stand here? But then he needs men that are fully trained and equipped for warfare. And we are basically building on a point made last night here when we say that. He needs men fully trained and equipped for warfare. As you'll check out again in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 2, for example, the kind of men that came to David, they were armed with bows. Sound like fully trained and equipped? And could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. Then look at verse 8. and of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might and men of war fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler. Look down at verse 38. All these men of war that could keep rank came with a perfect heart to Hebron to make David king over all Israel, and all the rest also of Israel were of one heart to make David king. Men that were highly trained in the weaponry of their day, skilled archers, those that were slinging stones, men with shields and swords who could keep rank, who knew how to fight. Don't imagine that to be a Christian is to sign up for a relaxation, holiday, or some kind of comfortable cruise. As again we were forcibly reminded last night, we are called to fight battle after battle after battle in an exhausting, draining war. And the kind of soldiers our Lord wants is indicated by these verses, armed with bows, able to use the right and the left hands in hurling stones and shooting arrows, men of might, people fit for the battle, who can handle shield and buckler, whose faces were like the faces of lions, that could keep rank, who had a perfect heart. These are high and heavy demands. But due to the fact the warfare in which we are engaged is a stern one, due to the fact that our enemy is a powerful and incredibly subtle foe, Ephesians 6:12, if we are going to be of any use in waging this spiritual warfare, we need to be trained, we need to be disciplined and properly equipped. We need to know how not only to put on the whole armour of God, Ephesians 6, but principally be skilled in the use of two weapons, the Word of God, Hebrews 4:12, and the prayer of faith, James 5:15 and 17 and 18. Our equipment, our skill in using it. Are we people of the book? Are we men and women of prayer? That's the challenge. And we must as well have understanding of the times. 1 Chronicles 12:32, able to identify where the enemy is, what he's going to do or likely to do, and choose wisely our battles. The fourth characteristic of these men in David's army, and therefore in the Lord's army, they are men who will count the cost. Men who will count the cost. Signing up to be on David's side was a costly thing to do. Required super calculation. These men had counted the cost, and they had come out of their tribes to where David was. They were willing to go ahead, even if by association with him it meant death. They had counted the cost. There's one illustration of this. Well, there are a number, but we'll pick out one in verse 15. There's a very impressive picture in verse 15 of 1 Chronicles 12. These are they that went over Jordan in the first month, when it had overflown all his banks, and they put to flight all them of the valleys, both toward the east and toward the west. Picture it. Band of men sold out to David's cause, crossing over the Jordan when that river was in full flood, and they got out on the other side, and they went west and they went east, and they fought and fought, men of grit and men of backbone. And with all of the forces of evil about us, and with all the difficulties that confront the true servants of Jesus Christ today, with all of the efforts engaged in by the devil to overthrow the word of God, take away the good seed, ruin our prayer life, the kind of Christians Jesus needs are those who have grit and backbone. Men and women of the Daniel type. Daniel 6:10. Daniel 6:16-24. Of the Barnabas and the Paul type. In Acts 15:26, we're told they were men who hazarded their lives for the cause of Jesus Christ. We reflected upon the fact on Wednesday evening past that in many parts of the world today, not where we live, but in many other parts of the world, it is a high cost to identify with Jesus Christ. For people to say, we are thine, and on thy side attracts the persecution of the wicked one. And we thought of Iran and Iraq and Afghanistan, Pakistan and North Korea, the Philippines, other places where the saints of God know a massive conflagration erupting around them when they stand on the side of Jesus Christ. We haven't yet had to pay that cost. But maybe before our own warfare is accomplished, we will be called on to pay a heavier cost than we do now. Will we be faithful like these men when that need arises? But then again, David needed men of supernatural strength, extraordinary effort and power. Look at the second part of verse 8. In fact, we'll read all of verse 8 again in 1 Chronicles 12. And of the Gadites, there separated themselves unto David into the hold to the wilderness, men of might. What kind of might? And men of war, fit for the battle, that could handle shield and buckler. But then look at the special energy, whose faces were like the faces of lions, and were as swift as the roes upon the mountains. That's not ordinary power. That's supernatural strength. Verse 21. And they helped David against the band of the rovers. Rovers might sound like some kind of a football team, but that's clearly not what they were. You go into the Hebrew word at the point where our translators have filled up the gap here and put in the word rovers, and the Hebrew they're trying to translate means those who are impetuous hunters, or those who were mighty heroes. They weren't going out to have a little struggle against a few weaklings and just wipe the floor with them. They were in for an intense struggle here, and they needed to meet power with power. That's why we're told here at the end of verse 21, they were all mighty men of valor and were captains in the host, mighty men in the ranks of David's army, faces like lions, so quick on their feet, running into battle, fearsome in their aspect, powerful in their arm. How did he do this? Just they were built more athletically than what people are today? Verse 18 reveals their secret. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains. And he said, thine are we, David, and on thy side, thy son of Jesse. The Spirit of the Lord. That's how they were men of supernatural strength. The Holy Spirit imposed himself upon them, pushed them forward, energized them. In the manner of Zechariah 4 and 6, in the manner of Acts 1 and the verse 8. The need back then is still the need today. Our God is looking for men and women strong in faith and filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4 and the verse 31. Can we say to that, Lord Jesus, if this is who you're looking for, look no further. Look me in the eye. I'm the person you're looking for. Thine are we, and on thy side, men of supernatural strength. Then another characteristic of these men was that they had unquestioned loyalty. Unquestioned loyalty. Verse 16 through to 18. And there came of the children of Benjamin and Judah to the hold unto David. Verse 17. And David went out to meet them and answered and said unto them, if ye be come peaceably unto me to help me, mine heart shall be knit unto you. But if ye be come to betray me to mine enemies, seeing there is no wrong in mine hands, the God of our fathers looked thereon and rebuked. Then the Spirit came upon Amasai, who was chief of the captains, and he said, Thine are we, David, and on thy side, thy son of Jesse. Peace, peace be unto thee, and peace be to thine helpers, for thy God helpeth thee. Then David received them and made them captains of the band. Tested them. Are you coming peaceably? Do you really want to join this force? Are you the kind of people we need? Are you going to show loyalty? Isn't that what our Lord Jesus does? Don't follow me unless you're willing to bear the cross. Unless you're willing to leave everything else behind. If you put your hand to the plow, I don't want you to be taking it off and going back. Blessed is he, Jesus said, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Matthew 11:6. Into the battle, God's children go. Look around and see the enemy. And it's easy to go wobbly at the knees, and it's easy to doubt, and it's easy to fear him. If we look at our circumstances, if we look at the strength of the enemy, but it's vital that even though the conditions around us are becoming worse and worse and worse, it is vital that we remain loyal to our King. Thine are we, and on thy side, no matter what the circumstances are. Final feature of these men. David needed men in his army who were possessed with one supreme desire. Possessed with one supreme desire. And you'll see that desire in verse 23. You'll see it in verse 31. You'll see it in verse 38. It's repeated these three times in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. The verses again, 23, 31, 38. What are we told about the men here? This one burning desire that they had to make David king. That was their desire, to see their leader on the throne, to see him reigning, and to be with him, defending him in that kingdom. And this also should be our desire, to make Jesus king, with a burning heart, to see him reign, to see him being glorified in our land again, where he is now vilified. To see him honored where he is being hounded. To see him glorious where today they're hurling all kinds of insults and grime at him. King, as the hymn writer said, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. In the light of our returning King, can we look him in the face tonight and say, as this chief of the captains, Amasai, did say in verse 18, thine are we, and on thy side, we are on the Lord's side. Savior, we are on.